When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
This is Omar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm joined by fresh in 2022, Gareth A. Davis. How was your Christmas and New Year's, Gareth?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's been a long time since we've had one of our chats. I was studio bound for the last few fights of the year. Events of the year, and obviously you were on the road a little bit. I thought 2021 was an incredible year for the fight world, fight industry. Christmas and New Year were fantastic. I got a little bit of sun in the Eastern Mediterranean, which was lovely, and ready to rock and roll. I was ready to rock and roll until the Boxing Border Control said, here's the big stumbling point for the beginning of the year. There ain't no boxing till February. Big shame, in my view. Big shame.
Yeah, we will come on to that in a second. Just before the year closed off, we learnt that the WBC determined their splits for Tyson Fury and Dillian White, with purse bids due if a deal wasn't reached by January 11th, I believe. Purse bids are due. With an 80-20 split, of course, in favour to Tyson. What was your reaction when you saw that news?
Well, I think it's deeper than that. I think they haven't ruled the split themselves. They've allowed Frank Warren and Bob Arum negotiating for Tyson Fury along with Eddie Hearn for Dillian White, or the two teams at the moment, certainly. Well, obviously with Dillian White's team, that they can't mandate anything at the moment other than he should be the next opponent for Tyson Fury, dependent on the agreement. The problem they've got, and I spoke, he didn't really give me an on-the-record view on it, but I spoke behind the scenes with both Frank Warren and Bob Arum and Mauricio Sulaiman, the president of the WBC, because of the outstanding court case or Court of Arbitration in Sport case that probably won't play out till March and finish till March. He's saying they can't mandate anything. They've got to leave it as an open period. There's no time scale on the negotiation. So we don't know when it would or could go to purse bids. Wow. So they can just move on. No, that case has to be finished first, because they need to know what's happening within the legal jurisdiction. So they're bound by that legal case, or certainly that's their viewpoint on it. It's a complex issue. In my view, the White team could have wiped the slate with the arbitration and just said, right, we move on, mandate it, give us a time period. There wasn't, if you remember, there was no time period given. No. And that's what Frank Warren's saying as well. You speak to Frank regularly, as I do, and he said they haven't put any time limit on it because of that arbitration case. It's not that Fury doesn't want to fight White. That's, they're playing hardball. Like, do you remember gobstoppers? You ever had a gobstopper? When I was a kid, they had gobstoppers, and they were these little sweets, and you sucked these sweets, and they never got any softer. And in the end, you had to spit them out. The sugar came off, but it was still hard. And they are playing hardball with that 80-20 because they believe Tyson Fury holds all the cards. Dillian White's in a very difficult position, in my view, because he has been held off for too long. He was the interim. He was the mandatory. He lost the mandatory. You know, he got it back. He's in a very difficult position. So I think they're going to go somewhere else. It wouldn't surprise me to see, I don't know, Luis Ortiz step in there with Tyson Fury, or someone that we all go, oh. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Fury go to America to fight now either. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see him fight Hellenius in Manchester. Mm-hmm. All these, as you know, are on the table. So they want to get Fury out in early March. So what do I make of it? It's just the situation it is. We can't do anything about it because there's no world governing body for boxing with the WBC, IBF, WBO, and WBA. And one of my wish on my wish list for 2022, and I spoke to Sulaiman and I spoke to Robert Smith, the British Boxing Board of Control, about this, is that why don't we have more mandatories, more unifications, like CLEAR, and have one ranking system, not four different ranking systems for fighters, so that they all align and we know the top 20 fighters in each division as agreed by the four sanctioning bodies. Then we know where we're going. Do you understand me? Do you understand where I'm coming from? So that if we can get that in place, that is as good as we can get at the moment for a world governing body for the sport. Also, they did meet all the heads. Paco Valcarcel of the WBO. Do you know this?
Yeah, yeah? I saw the picture. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Sulaiman of the WBC, Daryl Peebles of the IBF, and Gilberto Mendoza of WBA all met late in October, early November to discuss all these things. That's the move forward for 2022, in my view, along with, and I praise Sulaiman for this, getting amateur boxing back into the Olympics, because that's been taken off the list for Los Angeles in 2028. That's a massive blow for boxing. Massive. So they need to sort that out. I'm digressing. But yeah, it's a mess. We start the year with a heavyweight division in a mess. Not just the fact that Fury and White isn't happening and signed. Not only the fact that Usyk and Joshua isn't signed yet, Umar, and there's a date or anything, or a venue or a country. The WBA ranking system is in tatters, frankly, in my view. Manuel Chara removed his champion recess, didn't have a P1 entertainment certificate license to go to America to fight. He's gone. Who's Trevor Bryan going to fight now? Daniel Dubois is the number one. And you've got Michael Hunter, I think Joshua, and Wilder are 6 and 7 in their rankings. It's just a mess right now. We need to get these big fights signed in the heavyweight division. And White and Fury not happening gets in the way of all of it, frankly. Because we all want to see, well, we don't all want to see, but how much do we want to see Fury and Joshua step in the ring? Or Fury and Usyk, if Joshua can't get through Usyk a second time. It's a real quagmire right now. There's a lot of mud around. And then with as you mentioned at the top of our chat, the Boxing Board of Control not having any fights this year in the first 4 weeks. It's a real shame for boxing fans from this country, certainly.
All right, just to address this Fury White situation. So, pre-Christmas, just a few days before Christmas Eve, Frank Warren and Bob Arum told myself that it's essentially Hellenius in Manchester or Ruiz in Vegas, due to this arbitration case that's going on with Dylan White, which was the hearing set to be in March. Then, of course, a couple of days before New Year's Eve, this report came out from Chris McKenna, where I referenced it earlier about January 11th purse bids and the 80-20 split had been determined. So where did that come from? Because I think boxing fans think that that arbitration case is not going to happen in March anymore because we've got a purse bid date due on January 11th. So what's the situation there?
Well, I mean, if there is the case, that is the case. But my understanding so far, and I've literally come back today from holiday. Yeah, I've been off till now. I will look that up. If that's the case, that's brilliant news. If it's January the 11th, they do go to purse bids. But that's what they're playing with the hardball, aren't they? 80-20, they're not going to shift on it. Dillian White isn't going to get a 55-45 split. There's no way that they're going to put White and Fury has to go for them to make... Let's say Fury's commanding, you know, $20 million a fight now, isn't he? For them to make $4 million for White, yeah? Bob Arum, I think recalling now a story I wrote round about Christmas time, just after Christmas, it was the actual Christmas Boxing Day. I think it's something like, was he offered $7 million, £5 million or something? To make that happen and give Fury $20 million, that's a massive stadium fight, frankly. So they can only go somewhere like Cardiff, or they go to somewhere like Vegas, where they're going to get a lot more drop from the casinos and so on. If they do get to purse bids on January 11th, that's going to be a haranguing match because the huge coffers that Eddie Hearn has with DAZN will make that very interesting. ESPN has deep coffers. You know, there's no way that Aram and Warren are going to let Hearn dictate where and when that's going to be. If he does, that's a massive coup for Hearn, and it'll be a difficult situation, in my view.
Hmm. Well, we'll have to see how it plays out.
How do you see it happening then?
Well, if that report by Chris McKenna is true and...
Well, he's close ties with Frank Warren because he writes his column in The Star, so he will know that insight, and he's probably just done a column with him then. When does that come out?
That came out a few days before New Year's Eve.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so if that is true, I can't see a deal being done, personally.
Yeah.
Because Bob Arum told me that Dylan White wants $10 million minimum.
Yeah, that's right. He wants $10 million minimum. That's right. Yeah.
So that goes to purse bids. And then, of course, with an 80-20 split, as you said, his owner got deep pockets. But bearing in mind, it's an 80-20 split. That's going to be
a $50 million fight. It's not a $50 million fight.
Do you not think?
No. No. It's not a $50 million fight. No way.
How many pay-per-view buys does it do in this country, do you think? Does it do a million?
Maybe. If they had a massive build-up for it and, you know, we had tables thrown and all sorts going on.
And you've got to think of the American money on that as well. Maybe £35 million.
But they're going to show Tyson Fury in the middle of the afternoon there. I don't see it. It's a really difficult fight to sort out, you know?
But would you say it's worth around £30-35 million?
Maybe.
And then obviously 60,000-70,000 on a gate. Yeah.
But this is all the talk is pie in the sky. It's completely different behind the scenes, in my view. And like they're already looking at other opponents. That the arbitration's got to play out. There's no way. I don't think Tyson Fury will fight Dillian White next. Period. I don't, unless they drop the arbitration cases and he just works on this is what we're going to do. I think I want to make sense here because I don't think I am completely. I don't think Tyson Fury will fight Dillian White next. They may organise the fight next after Tyson Fury fights. He's in camp. He's getting ready. Oh, my God, I hope I'm wrong and he does fight White next. Because Ruiz and Helenius, he toys with, in my view. Fury toys with those two guys. There's no way that Andy Ruiz gets to knock out Tyson Fury with his fast hands. I think Fury wins that just with his jab, frankly, and he probably knocks Ruiz out early. And I think the Helenius fight, you know, Helenius is two levels below Fury in my view. And again, he's a very big man, but he's just right for Fury. He's just right. He's slow. He's very durable and he's very tough, the Viking, but I don't see him troubling Fury very much at all. What does White do in the interim? You know, does he fight someone else as well? You know,
Even though that article came out and it said 11th of January, purse bids are due, you're right. It never said an arbitrator has ruled or determined those splits. And we know they were an arbitration. So there's nothing to say an arbitrator has said those have got to be the splits.
Yeah, though that's the offer on the table, 80-20. They were talking 90-10 at one point, Bob Arum was saying it should be. I mean, I remember Arum saying that the 80-20 split, the amount of money they wanted, rather, from the White side was too greedy, that's not what he commanded. These bloody negotiations at this very, very money-heavy top of the heavyweight division. It's always been like this, and it takes ages for it to sort out. That's why it was so disappointing last year, and we waited 6 months. I know we got a brilliant fight with Wilder and Fury, but we waited 6 months, and then that fight between Joshua and Fury just collapsed, didn't it, because of the arbitration. It's such a shame, and I do think we start the year with the heavyweight division, as I repeat, in a little bit of a mess.
Well, you might not have any knowledge on this, but I'm going to ask it just in case you do. What is holding up an official Usyk-Joshua announcement here?
Goodness knows. You know, have you got the bat phone call straight to Eddie Hearn right now?
No, I have no idea what's going on with that in terms of site, date, whatever.
What I suspect is that there's a lot of people in the bids. A lot of people want to host that fight. If it's March, mid-March or April, really, you know, How many covered football stadiums are there? I don't think there are any with retractable roofs. Cardiff, exactly. So, and also, I think Anthony Joshua, it looked like at the end of the year, was still getting his team together and hadn't made a full decision about where he was going and who he was going to work with. Doesn't seem like he's in any rush either. But I do expect something imminently on that. You know, we've gone into a little bit of a natural, you know, 10-day break, haven't we? Well, I did. And I think, you know, and you know, in that time, you know, Luis Ortiz popped up with another good performance, didn't he? And showed that he's still knocking about. You know,
it was an interesting fight. Charles
Martin really was.
Yeah. Was up every round, and then Ortiz just had him out. It was incredible.
Yeah. He's 46 going on 66, isn't he? But he's a clever fighter. Listen, he nearly derailed Deontay Wilder that night in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. I was there. And Wilder pulled out that uppercut from hell and put him away. He was in trouble for two rounds. And the great Don King was there that night, of course, with his entourage. But, heavyweight boxing. You know, frustrating at times, but amazing when it happens.
Just one more on Joshua. Have you heard anything about his TV contract situation? Because it's gone quiet on that front.
What, in terms of what, Sky Sports?
Well, or Sky, Box, Sky or going with DAZN or someone else?
I have not asked the question. But listen, he is a massive draw in spite of the loss to Usyk on 25th September at Tottenham. He's still a massive draw. He's got huge mainstream appeal. You know, he's coming back again, trying to be a three-time world champion. So, you know, we'll hear three-time as soon as he gets into camp. No, I haven't heard a thing. He can go with anyone he wants to go with, as simple as that. But I imagine it'll be Sky Sports box office in the UK, and I imagine it'll be DAZN Global outside the UK, you know?
Okay. And just to finish off on heavyweight talk, this isn't going to happen, but Eddie Hearn's throwing it out there that he wants Derek Chisora to get in the ring with Deontay Wilder. Well, what do you think about that? It got a lot of criticism on social media, that suggestion.
Very nasty finish for Derek Chisora is what I think. With a very fast-handed, heavy-handed ex-WBC champion who's looking for retribution against anyone who's around him. I don't think it's a good fight for Derek, in my view. I mean, we haven't spoken since his fight with Joseph Parker. I think Derek needs to make the decision on that. He gave me an extraordinary interview, you know, for DAZN, for their Off the Cuff series. I urge anyone watching this to go and watch it. He was brilliant. It's called Off the Cuff series. It's a series of deep interviews I do with boxers. And he was just saying, Umar, that you can't give it up. He can't retire. He took a shellacking in that fight. I was in the studio at Talk Sport doing a live show. And we were just commenting on it round by round. He was extraordinary in that fight. When Derek's really hurt, he's like the kind of proverbial wounded tiger, the wounded dangerous animal. His claws come out. And that's the problem. He's so tough. He's got so much will. And he said, even when I'm 6 feet under, I'll probably be shadow boxing. Can't walk away from this sport. Very haunting words. You know, we can't decide when people want to retire, but he's definitely slowing up. What is he, 37, 38? I think he wants to carry on fighting. And as Eddie Hearn said on the night, you know, his family might urge him to stop, but he's the one that will make the decision.
Okay, and just to close off, I want to speak about the British Border Control. Two subjects in relation to them. So the first one is that, of course, they've banned all shows this month, i.e. January, where all other sports will carry on as normal. We have no restriction in this country. In terms of England, everything will crack on as normal. So what are your thoughts about no boxing this month in England and the UK?
Well, I agree with Frank Warren, and mentioning Frank again, you know, incomprehensible and incompetent, it was what he called them. I don't go quite that far, but they should have had a consultation with their licensees, I think. They've cited the fact that they don't want to use a takeaway from the NHS in this period with doctors and the medical staff ringside. It's a bit of a facile argument, that one. And, you know, I think it's overprotective and overcautious. COVID is a dangerous thing for a lot of people, but there are huge numbers of cases, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist in any way. I think people try to be safe. I think people should be vaccinated if they can, if they feel that way. I think people should be vaccinated. I've got nothing against people not wanting to be vaccinated for their own personal reasons, but I thought it was a very weak decision because other sports aren't doing it. Six Nations is going ahead. We're going to go behind closed doors, the rugby. Every other sport's going on. Darts went on all over Christmas and New Year. Thousands of people swilling the beer and watching the darts. I think it's a real shame because I think it puts the kibosh on people planning into February and March because they don't know what's going to happen. Because if it gets worse now, then that's January gone. We've lost Liam Williams and Chris Eubank Jr. already. We've lost Savannah Marshall's first big, not Savannah Marshall, Clarissa Shields' first big fight in the UK. We're building towards that Clarissa Shields, Savannah Marshall middleweight fight, which I think is terrific, certainly for women's boxing. I just don't get it. I think they've just gone on real defensive. This is not the same situation as a year ago. And I think it's a real pity, Umar.
And my last one on the board, Robert Smith was on your channel today, actually on Talk Sport, having a debate with Simon Jordan. Simon Jordan's discussed this matter quite a lot on Talk Sport with Hamza Shiraz and Bradley Skitt and the fallout and the controversy from it. Of course, we've learned in the last couple of weeks that the board made their decision and have stuck with their decision. And the reason for that, I believe, was that because Bradley Skeet got up and fought on, they couldn't do anything about that. They couldn't disqualify Hamza or make it a no contest. Yeah. What was your thoughts and the backlash from that towards Hamza? And what have you made of Bradley's comments from the fallout as well?
Well, Bradley's got more annoyed as time has passed because he may feel that was the performance of his career. I was doing commentary on the night with Talk Sport. We were there at ringside, and it was a brilliant performance. And Hamza Shiraz was clearly in the wrong, and there should be some kind of compensation, in my view, due to Bradley Skeet. But the compensation that seems to be given is, you can have a rematch. You can go through it all over again. Like you say, the board have just followed their own rules, which is, Steve Gray explained what he did. He explained, he deducted a point, explained that he'd asked Bradley Skeet if he could continue, if he was in a fit state to continue, and he said he was eventually after a long pause. Bradley should have stayed down, in my view. And I think Dominic Ingle and his corner were urging him to stay down at the time. Simon Jordan's, he's playing devil's advocate. He's, kind of like ethically, morally, he's right. Bradley should have walked away that night. He was way ahead on the cards. I think he was fatiguing. Hamza might have gone on to stop him, but it was a very, it's a very fine performance by Bradley in which he was probably four, maybe five rounds up at the time. It was a brilliant performance. So the right thing hasn't happened for the right guy. So I get Simon Jordan's point of view. Will we see an appeal further outside? They could go to the Court of Arbitration in Sport, for example, and say, look at this scenario. Is this right? It may change the rulings. It may change the rules. Maybe the rules need to be looked at on this. Maybe Hamza Shiraz should be fined. Maybe Steve Gray's decision should be looked at by another arbitration court that his decision is wrong. And that's the problem is, as we talked about with the world's governing bodies, with the sanctioning bodies, there's no world's governing body. There's no one overseeing the Boxing Board of Control's decisions either. I know they're recognised by Sport England as the governing body for sport in this country, but maybe it needs to be looked at by a higher authority. And there is a Court of Arbitration in Sport beyond all governing bodies for sport. That's where I'd take it. And that's what I think Simon Jordan's trying to suggest, that he'll fund that for Bradley Skeet. He'll fund his appeal. He said that to me. And I've been on a show with him recently, and Spencer Oliver and Jim White, where he said he wanted to fund Bradley because he thought there was an injustice there. I think there was an injustice. But That's the problem. A lot of the rules in the boxing border control seem to be quite arcane, quite Procrustean, and maybe they need to be changed.
Okay, Gareth A. Davis, appreciate your time on IFL TV this evening, and I'm sure that's the first of many this year. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close off?
I think I've said more than enough today, Umar.
Well, that will do for me. Gareth, appreciate your time and speak soon, all right?
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.
Sports Social Podcast Network.